Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. The way this podcast works couldn't be more simple. You just pick an episode, press play, and get comfortable in bed. We'll take a moment to relax, and then I, or one of my friends, will read you a bedtime story designed to just gently grasp your attention and guide you off to sleep. The more you tune in, the more effective the podcast will be at putting you to sleep. So be sure to listen every night wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a good night's rest. Thanks to everyone who sent feedback and written reviews. I read every single one of them, and I can speak both for myself and for the whole team at Get Sleepy when I say that your words of support are truly heartwarming. We appreciate each and every one of you, from the casual listeners to those who have made Get Sleepy a staple part of your nightly routine. It makes all our efforts so worthwhile when we hear about how the podcast has helped you. And as I've mentioned in recent episodes, if you would like to support Get Sleepy, there's a new way to do that. You can now subscribe to our premium channel, and in doing so, support the production of this show. You get instant access to our entire catalogue of bedtime stories and meditations, as well as an exclusive episode each Thursday. And better still, it's all completely ad-free. You can sign up on our website at getsleepy.com/support, or just follow the link in the show notes to learn more about Get Sleepy Premium. Tonight's story will be read by Abby, as we take an adventure to a secluded island in Scotland and sample the quiet lifestyle of the Vikings who once lived there. Now, as the weather begins to heat up on this side of the world, it can sometimes be a little trickier to cool our bodies down and to feel ready for sleep. I know some of you might have air conditioning or perhaps fans in your bedroom to help with that, but many people won't, and you may need a little extra help to reach a state of relaxation and a comforting coolness. So, why not picture yourself standing at the shore of a pristine, sandy beach? It's peaceful, and there's no one else around. All you can hear are the birds flying above, and the coming and going of gentle waves. Take a couple of steps forward, onto the cool, wet area of sand. The part that just catches the edge of the waves as they spread over the shoreline. How does that feel on the soles of your feet? Now you can take another 2 or 3 steps forward so that your feet and ankles can enjoy the refreshing, cool water as it washes over them. Just for a few seconds at a time, the water envelops your feet, your ankles, perhaps up towards your knees. and with it, it sends a delightful feeling through your entire body. The cooler temperature on your feet and your lower legs helps to regulate the temperature of the rest of your body, and it feels soothing and cleansing. So now you're no longer too warm, nor are you too cold. Your body feels just right. And you're perfectly set to just listen, rest, and drift off as Abby tells our story. Tonight's adventure is another one from the Library of Time. In search of a dreamy tale from the past, we find ourselves at the entryway to an ancient stone building. Night has fallen all around, and only the sound of crickets fills the air as you approach the old library.
Allow the cares of the day to fade away as a new image appears in your mind's eye. It's a set of enormous double doors. The ancient mahogany is finely polished and covered with carvings of human exploration. You run your fingers over the outlines of a panel near the aged brass door handle. It seems to be telling a story. You see a long ship with a square sail. The front of the ship sweeps upward dramatically, ending with the figurehead of a dragon. The ship is sailing over the ocean towards an island with high cliffs. On the island are carvings of long rectangular houses and fields of grain blowing in the wind. At the edge of the island, overlooking the sea, stand strange circular ruins. You pause for a moment, running your eyes back and forth over the scene, and feeling the smooth, dark wood on your fingertips. You place your palm on the door panel and push gently. The door is heavy, but swings open effortlessly with a soft creak. Beyond the door is the foyer of an immense library. You step through the entryway and notice the soft tap of your feet echoing through the room. The sun shines through stained glass, sending patterns of light dancing across the large green and white marble tiles on the floor. You look up at the magnificent crystal chandelier hanging high above your head. A myriad of candles flicker among the crystals. At the far end of the room, between two curving staircases, is a sign. You step closer to read the elegant gold script. It says, "Welcome to the Library of Time. Only the most curious souls can find this place. Each and every book here connects to a different time and place. While in the past, you will neither be seen nor heard. You cannot change the past after all. You can only learn from it. And learn you shall. Intrigued, you turn to the staircase on your right. You run your hand along the railing and start up the stairs and watch as the second floor slowly reveals itself. Row after row of bookshelves stretch out before you. The smell of old books and perfect stillness here give off a sense of wisdom. You walk forward between two rows of shelves. They're taller than you, but every book is within reach. Tall, white, marble columns stand at the junction between each row of bookshelves. As you pass the first column, you run your fingers over the smooth, curved stone. You scan over the books as you walk past shelf after shelf. Then, one book catches your eye. It's covered in rough stained leather. An intricate design runs down the binding like a tangle of vines. You place your finger on the spine and tilt the book, sliding it out of the shelf. The title is just a year, 1007. You take the book with you and continue walking down the row of shelves towards the balcony of a square atrium. Diffused sunshine from a skylight high above fills the space. You turn to the left and walk towards a reading nook overlooking the first floor. You find a fine hardwood couch with royal purple cushions. You take a seat and lay your head back as you sink into the soft cushions. As you lift the worn leather cover, the old parchment pages rustle gently. Enjoying the smooth touch of the paper, you find the first page and begin to read. The Orkney Islands are an archipelago north of Scotland. They're marked by red sandstone cliffs and pillars jutting out of the sea. The islands are carpeted in thick grasses, which are a fine meal for the local sheep and cattle. Orkney has a past going back thousands of years. Standing stone monoliths and sunken ruins are all that is left of an ancient Stone Age civilization. Later came the Picts, an entirely different people, who eventually gave way to the Vikings of Norway in the 8th or 9th century. You look up from the book for a moment and take a breath. Your body settles into the warm fabric of the couch. You close your eyes and begin to feel yourself slipping through the streams of time. The rustling of grass replaces the silence of the library. A cool breeze caresses your skin. The smell of a cooking fire wafts about you. You open your eyes to find yourself standing in a green meadow. All around you are wide, flat, grey stones, sticking upright out of the earth. You walk closer to one. It's massive, more than twice your height. With your hand on the stone, you detect its antiquity. Placing a structure like this would have been a massive undertaking. Who put it here is a mystery lost in time. In the distance, you see a tendril of smoke rising into the air. The soft green grass shifts around your feet as you begin walking across the meadow towards the smoke. The land is relatively flat and wide, marked by broad rolling hills. As you cross over the top of a knoll, a herd of woolly cows comes into view. You walk closer to one. One cow takes a mouthful of grass and lifts its head as it chews. A long mop of hair on top of its head hangs down over its eyes and muzzle. You run your fingers through its shaggy blonde hair. Coarse and warm, perfect for the long Orkney winters. The cow doesn't seem to notice you whatsoever. You leave the herd behind as they graze and moo contentedly. Up ahead, you find a well-worn path through the grass. A right turn seems to lead off towards the smoke. A left turn leads in the direction of a tall stone structure. You turn right. The summer air is fresh and the sun is warm. You enjoy it with each deep breath. A long strip of land close to the path bears a different type of grass. The blades are dark green, tall and slender. It's a crop of oats. Soon the heads of grain will swell and be ready to harvest near the end of fall. You stop for a moment and scan the horizon in all directions. Something is missing from this landscape, you notice. There aren't any trees. After thousands of years of agriculture and settlement, the island has been cleared of any sort of shrubbery. You continue on down the path. The source of the smoke comes into view. It is a Viking longhouse. The walls are short and windowless. They're made of carefully cut and stacked bedrock stones with mud and clay mortar. The roof is sloped and covered in sod growing thick with grass, though some stray flowers and a few blades of oat dot it as well. A cooking fire sends smoke pouring from a hole cut in the middle of the living roof. The long rectangular building is home to several families living together in community. This was a common way of living for Scandinavian families. A grand entrance lies in the middle of the long wall facing you. It is wooden, with two beams crossing each other to form a peak at the top. You step through the tall, rounded doorway. The inside of the house is dim, lit only by a cooking fire and the light coming in from the opening in the ceiling. As your eyes adjust, you begin to look around. The roof is made from long planks of wood with various beams and supports crisscrossing the ceiling. The timbers must have been brought to the island, you think, since there isn't enough wood in all of Orkney to build such a home. Large pillars stand in pairs along the length of the longhouse supporting the roof. A closer look reveals that the pillars are intricately carved. These roof supports have been transformed into one continuous piece of artwork from top to bottom. You see images of animals, dragons and antiquated symbols all wrapped up in a tangle of vines. Admiration fills your heart as you appreciate the seemingly innate human desire to create art. Along each wall are wide benches covered in bedding, blankets and furs. Mounted on the wall above the benches are brightly coloured round shields lined up like dragon scales. You look up to see rows of fish and various cuts of meat hanging from the rafters. Dried foods like these help to sustain the Vikings during long winters and sea voyages. At the centre of the room, below the opening in the ceiling, is a hearth with a warm fire burning. This is where the smoke was originating from. An iron pot hangs above the fire, bubbling with a delicious-smelling stew. You move closer and have a seat nearby. A woman is tending the cooking pot. She has fair skin, and her hair is braided in a complex style that reminds you of the tangled carvings on the pillars. She is wearing leather shoes and a long-sleeved wool dress, dyed a rich chestnut brown. Over her brown dress, she has on a sort of sleeveless blue dress with small silver brooches attaching the straps to the front. Around her neck is a necklace of beautiful green and orange beads and a silver medallion. You watch as she stirs the stew. She tastes it and adds a bit of this or that. Sitting nearby are two men, talking, laughing and eating. They each have on a wool thigh-length shirt and matching pants. They're wearing leather boots and a leather belt. One has on a heavy grey cloak wrapped over his shoulder. No one is paying any attention to you. You remember the words on the sign in the Library of Time. While in the past, you will neither be seen nor heard. You look to your right and see another family, a mother and father playing with their young son. You smile. This is a different side of Viking life. A kinder, gentler, family-oriented side. A side that history often forgets. It's no surprise, really, you think. The Vikings are, after all, only human. You stand and make your way to the door, pausing for a moment to take one last look around at the families before you step out through the tall doorway. As the sun hits your face again, you squint to let your eyes adjust. You stretch and take a deep breath of the fresh air. Using your hands as a visor, you shield your eyes and look off into the distance. You can just make out the top of a round stone structure, the same one you saw earlier from the path you followed here. You start back up the path, passing the field of oats and the shaggy cows. As you approach the stone structure, you notice that it appears to be old ruins. Curious, you think. You've never considered the ruins that existed during ancient civilizations. It reminds you that humanity is always changing. What is new now will inevitably become old. You climb a small rise to get a better look at the ruins. The building and surrounding ruins sit perched on a cliff overlooking the ocean. Long mounds of earth start at the cliff and wrap around the ruins in concentric semicircles back to the cliff on the other side. They resemble the look of ripples in water. These were probably defensive ditches or moats that once protected the settlement. But they have since been filled in, either purposely or by erosion. It is obvious that the stone building that you saw from the road used to be much taller. The remains of stone walls sit just above the ground in a maze-like pattern around the larger building. It appears that several small houses once surrounded the larger building. This building is the famous Brach of Gurness. More than 500 brachs can be found on mainland Scotland, Orkney and the Shetland Islands. The brachs of Orkney are distinct because they usually have a small village surrounding them. The brach of Gurness was already ancient when the Vikings arrived in Orkney. It was already old when the Picts lived here. It was likely built by ancestors of the Picts between 500 and 200 BCE. You return to the path and make your way down to the ruins for a closer look. As you cross over the foundations of the old walls, you remember the short stone walls of the longhouse. Rather than cut new stones, the Viking settlers most likely took stones from sites like these to build their homes and storehouses. Dirt has filled in much of the space between the walls. A carpet of grass has already started to bury what's left. You begin walking around the curved wall. The sound of waves crashing on the beach below mingles with the distant calls of seals sunning along the water's edge. On the horizon, you see fishing boats gliding over the fertile waters. A section of the wall has collapsed low enough for you to see inside the brach. There is a large hearth and cupboards made out of stone slabs. There appears to be a well also, but it has collapsed and been filled in during some bygone era. A stone staircase curves up from the floor to the top of what is left of the wall. In 1929, 1,000 years from now, the poet Robert Rendell will fortuitously place his stool here to sit and draw. The brach of Gurness, covered in 1,000 years' worth of dirt, will be discovered when the leg of his stool breaks through the earth, revealing the same staircase. It is not certain what the brachs were used for. They could have been storehouses, strongholds, or meeting places. Whatever the case, they are a testament to the ingenuity of ancient people. You take a moment to look out over the island and the sea. You are filled with a new appreciation for this place and for its people. You wonder how many families will come and go here, how many cooking fires will burn long into the night, how many structures will be built only to be lost over the course of time. You enjoy one last look at the beauty of Orkney before closing your eyes and taking a deep breath. You feel yourself slipping through the streams of time once more. As you breathe out and open your eyes, you're back in the Library of Time, sitting on the royal purple couch. The lamp casts a glow across the pages of the book. You close the book and run your fingers over the vines along its binding. It resembles the carvings on the pillars of the longhouse and the hair of the shaggy blonde cows. You place the book on the side table and reach up to turn off the lamp. As you settle back into your seat, watching the shafts of light pouring down from the skylight far above, looking down the endless shelves of books, you wonder where you will go next. But for now, you rest back into the couch and drift comfortably off to sleep.